We're doing Jewish history. We're up to the year 3199. And at this point, Chizkiyahu, the king of Judea, the famous pious Chizkiyahu, the son of Ahaz ben Yotam, he becomes king over Judea. It is the third year of the last king of the northern ten tribes, right? Hoshea ben Elah is the king of the northern ten tribes. He is going to rebel against Shalmaneser, the Assyrian king. And it is in the third year of Hoshea ben Elah that Chizkiyahu becomes king. Chizkiyahu is 25 years old when he becomes king. He will be king for 29 years. The Kohen Gadol is Neriah, and the prophets at that time are Hoshea the prophet, yes, Yeshayahu, Amos, Micha. Okay? In his days, he ensured that the education system was so thorough that everyone, even children, knew the laws of purity. You couldn't find anyone, you couldn't catch anyone who didn't know the laws of Tahara. It was in his days that he recognized that people were too confident in the book of cures that King Solomon left behind. They wouldn't pray when they would get ill, and so he hid it. He hid the book of cures from King Solomon. 3 years into his reign, in the year 3202, Shalmaneser travels south. He's coming from Assyria. He travels into Israel and heads for the capital of the northern ten tribes, Shomron, Samaria. And the next year, he captures it. And the northern ten tribes are going to be exiled. I'm sorry, not the next year. It took him 3 years as he lays siege on Samaria. And then in the year 3205, the northern ten tribes are exiled. We move forward to the year 3209. Sancheriv becomes the king of Babylon. So Shalmaneser conquered the northern ten tribes, and then Sancheriv takes over. There's a man named Tuvia HaTzadik. There's a book named Sefer Tuvia, and Tuvia HaTzadik lived around this time period. The book that they have today, that's called the Book of Tuvia, was actually copied over from Latin, and the work he quotes over here that he thinks that that work which they have today that they call the Book of Tuvia is a forgery. There are works that say there was once a prophet named Tuvia ben Tuviel in the city of Nineveh. It's not clear when this person lived. Some say it was at this time period with the destruction of the northern ten tribes, and others say he lived after the destruction of the first temple. He wrote. Okay. We move forward to the year 3210. Romulus and Romolius. They surround the walls of Rome. We studied about them last class or the one beforehand. We move forward to the year 3211. Sancheriv returns. And he brings with him the Kutim. And he settles them in the northern ten tribes. And that's Sancheriv's tactic. Whenever he'd conquer a people was he'd exile them. The logic in it was when you're exiled, you can't wage war. You can't fight back because it takes a long time to figure out how to cultivate the land you just moved into. You don't have loyalty to the land you're in now. You don't know the ins and outs of the country you just moved into. When you leave a people in their own territory and you capture them, then they have the impetus, they have the drive to regain their own sovereignty. So they also know the country. They know how to take advantage of the country, and they will fight for their independence again. When you exile them, it's so tough to gain footing, to make a livelihood. The next generation will be faithful to Sanherib, to the Assyrian Empire. If the parents are suffering, their children will already be good Assyrian citizens. And that's why Sanherib would exile every people that he conquered. That's what Chazal say, Ba Sanherib. Sanherib came, Ubilbel et kol olam. He made the whole world confused. Once upon a time, you knew these were the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Egyptians. Sennacherib came along, and everyone is mass deportation. Whole people were exiled to other territories. So he brought people from the island of Kavta to sit in Samaria, in the northern 10 tribes. And he summoned two Jews to teach them Torah, Rabbi Dostai be Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Savia. And they were supposed to teach them Torah. The problem is the Kutim weren't so interested in becoming Jews. So they had a fake conversion. They initially converted to Judaism, yet were still fully pagans. Their conversion was not legitimate. Later on in history, they underwent the second conversion, and that became a questionable conversion, where throughout the period of the Second Temple, the rabbis would question, are the Kutim really Jews or not? Because the Kutim in many ways were observant, and in other ways they did not respect our oral tradition. Until the period of Rabbi Meir, where they discovered that in the cellars of their temples, they had figurines of a dove, and they were still worshipping their pagan gods, and that's when they decided they're no longer a part of Israel. But for a period of about two centuries or more, it was questionable. Who were the Kutim? Yes.
Why would they convert them at all? Sanherib converted them?
So the Navi describes that when they settled in the northern part of Israel, lions attacked them, and they had casualties. So they sent word to Sanherib and said, we don't know how to behave in this country. The god of the lands upset at us. Send us a Kohen to teach us Torah. So he sent word to the Jews and said, what's the secret? How do you stay in your country? The Jews answered him, you have to observe Torah, otherwise the land makes it very difficult for you. It's impossible. The Jews thought he would say, okay, then you guys come back. No one else can keep Torah in the land. That's why they said that. He did differently. He said, okay, so give me some rabbis, and I'm going to send them down there, and they'll teach them Torah. And it worked. Seems like the lions stopped attacking them. So that's what happened. So the Kutim learned some Torah, and their conversion was not legitimate. When we came back to rebuild the Second Temple, these Kutim attacked us. They waged war against us, and they told the Babylonian, the Persian Mede Empire, not to allow us to build the temple. And they fought us. They tried to assassinate Ezra and Nehemiah. So the Kutim were big troublemakers for us. Later on, they underwent another conversion, which became questionable.
How many were there?
I don't know.
And are they here now?
I don't know. Because Rambam says Kutim and Givonim and Tzedukim are all interchangeable. In fact, they are from different parts of Jewish history. I said Kutim and Givonim? No. Kutim, Shomronim, Tzedukim, Karaim. Yeah, Rambam says Sadducees, Karaites, Kutim, they're all the same. They're not exactly the same. They were in different parts of history, but they all adopted a similar philosophy of not accepting the oral tradition.
The rabbinate accepted the Karaites, or accepted as Jews.
I have no idea.
To
that doesn't mean the rabbinate accepted them. That means Ben Gurion or someone along the lines accepted them. Why don't you check? It's unlikely. I'm saying the Rambam says we don't assume that the modern day Karaites are willful sinners. We say they have a tradition. They don't know right from wrong, but that doesn't make them Jewish. Right, but reform is different because reform at the roots at least many of the people in the Reform movement are Jews who just don't know much Torah. Karaites, it's a good question whether who they are, where they're coming from.
Well, if they're religious Reform, to their doctrine, I mean, that's... I agree, most of the Reform don't know anything, but many of them willfully...
I wouldn't be quick to view them that way.
The rabbis of the Reform movement...
That's a separate topic. You want? It's Thursday night. Let's finish Jewish history, and then we could revert to this topic. So, in the year 3002-11, Sancheiriv settles the northern part of Israel with the Kutim. And then he continues conquering country after country and exiling them from area to area. It says he conquered 190 countries. So he had a massive military campaign. And then he came to conquer Judea. And he conquered a segment of Judean territory and all of the tribe of Shimon. And he wanted to exile the people who he captured from Judea and Shimon. But he was attacked by the king of northern Africa, the king of Cush. And he went to war. And when he went to war, so those Jews, he says over here, were hidden in the mountains of darkness. And that was the fourth exile of Israel. So you have Jews from the tribe of Shimon and the tribe of Yehuda who were hidden somewhere. Where are the mountain of darkness? Where is that? What does that mean? Where did they go to hide? So this is where the stories begin with questions about Jews from different parts of the world or people from different parts of the world saying, we're Jews, we're here from an old time. Here you have a source. We discussed about the northern 10 tribes being exiled somewhere. And now we see there was this segment of people, the first people to be conquered of Judea by the king of Assyria, who went into hiding, not in Israel. They fled somewhere else to hide. Yes?
Kind of curious. Bring up the tribe of Shimon. How did they, and I guess I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, I guess, but how did the tribe of Shimon function? And I mean, because I guess I've heard a couple different things.